you. Man, I loved that. Why don't you guys make an album, and I'll be the first in line to buy it. And they'll be signing autographs right out here in the foyer. That was wonderful. Well, happy Father's Day. I hope we have some happy fathers in here this morning. And dads, I hope that today is all about you. You know, I know that you guys give and sacrifice and make everything better for your family, but today's about you. I hope they pamper you and they honor you and they wait on you hand and foot and they just, you know, food. Just make sure that they take you to your favorite restaurant or your favorite dinner homemade. And I hope you get you to sit back and do whatever you want to do. Get in your easy chair if you want to watch a ball game or watch something on TV or read a good book or go ride a motorcycle or go ride a bucking bronco. I don't care. Just go do what you want to do. This is your day. This is all about you. And for goodness sakes, folks, buy the father in your family a ticket to Nazarene Night at Boise Hawks. Okay? Where's that thing? Right up there. Did you see that free food part of it? That's not a joke. For the first four innings of that ball game, you go up to the concession stand and eat as much as you want. Last summer, I had 3 hot dogs and 2 ice cream bars before the fourth inning. But here's the deal. Go early before the game starts, and you can get started. Because they might run out by the fourth inning with a crowd like this. So I just, that's got to be a part of it. By the way, didn't you guys have a meal here at the church last Sunday night? Was that some kind of a barbecue or hot dogs or people came on Sunday? Did that really happen? That happened? You know, I always loved it when I was pastoring the church and I read in the bulletin that there was going to be a potluck. And it says, you know, bring a hot dish. So I'd bring my wife, you know, and it worked out great every time. It's all about the food. Remember when you were kids and you heard your mom in the kitchen and you heard the whirring of that little mixer and you realized she was making a homemade cake and you know, mixing the cake batter and then she called you in and said, would you like to lick the beaters? You remember that? Isn't that great? Good moms let you lick the beaters. And good dads make sure they're turned off first. That's dad's job, to keep those things from ripping your tongue out. You know, it's just... I read this week about a dad who was working with his son who had a slight speech impediment. And the little guy had a hard time pronouncing words with the letter R. It just didn't work for him, and the dad could see that he was struggling with that. And this was the time before speech therapists, and so dad was kind of on his own. And he, you know, read some books and got some counsel and advice, and he ran across a thing that said if you give your son a sentence that's just filled with the letter R. And just have him practice and practice and practice and practice and say it over and say it over, that might help him begin to understand how that works in his mouth. And so the dad sat down and he worked out this sentence here. It says, Richard wrapped Robert in the ribs for roasting the rabbit so rare. And so he gave that to his little boy. And he said, listen, I want you to read this over and over again and write it out and practice it and say it. And then when you feel good, come back and I'll have you do it and we'll just see if we're making progress. And don't be nervous. It's not right or wrong. It's just to help you with the letter R. So the little guy worked on it. My word, he said it over and over again. He said it quietly. He said it loudly. He stood in front of the mirror and watched how his lips move and his tongue worked when he was trying to say that. And he just worked and worked and finally went back to his dad. And he said, okay, I think I'm ready. And so the dad just said, okay, relax. It's all good. It's all good. And the little guy just took a deep breath and looked his dad right in the eye. And he said, Dick poked Bob in the side for not cooking the bunny enough. You know that's a true story, don't you? You just know it. But dads, it reminds us that things don't always turn out exactly like we hope they would. That no matter how hard you work and how much you try, sometimes things don't work out exactly like we expected. And so we keep turning to the book, don't we? We keep turning into the book for help and guidance and encouragement. The Word of God speaks the truth of God to the people of God by the Spirit of God. And that's where our hope and our help is found. 66 books and letters in this Bible, written by 40 different authors over a period of 1,400 years, over 1,200 chapters, over 31,000 verses. Amazing what we find here. And they came to Jesus one day and they said, Jesus, boil it down for us. What's the most important thing in the book? What's the number one thing? If there's only one thing I can walk away with, what is it? And Jesus told them. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, there's no greater commandment greater than these. Jesus said, if you get nothing else out of the book, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say the Ten Commandments. He didn't say the Sermon on the Mount. He didn't say the Beatitudes. He didn't say anything about religion or ritual or rules or regulations. He said it's all about relationship. It's all about relationship, this way and this way. Now, love God with all your heart. That, you know, for most of us, that's not a hard thing. We know that God loves us. We know that He sent His Son. We know that He's our Heavenly Father. And it's not a hard thing for us to love God. He's perfect in all of His ways, the Bible says. And we don't always understand His ways, and we know His ways are higher than our ways, but we know that He's got us in His heart and in His hand, and He loves us. So it's not too hard to love God with all your heart. Your neighbor, maybe not so much. That's a different story. In fact, turn to your neighbor right now and say, God loves you, and I'm working on it. Come on, say it. God loves you and I'm working on it. Now the working on it part, the I'm working on it part, is called relationships. The next slide defines relationships. It's very simple. It's simply the interaction between two or more people. It's the way in which people interact and regard and behave toward one another. And it's how we manage and nurture and navigate those interactions that determines the qualities of our relationships. Now, some are easy. Some are sweet and nice and friendly and warm and fuzzy and positive. And some are not. There are relationships in your life that are difficult, that are dysfunctional, that are hard, that are awkward, maybe even with people you love and care about, but somehow the relationship is just, it isn't easy. In fact, right now, I want you to think of two people in your world that you have a really good, healthy, positive relationship with. Just think in your mind, two people. It's nice, it's easy, it's comfortable, you just get along well, and if there is a little problem, you just work it out real quick, and it's just good. And now I want you to think of two people that just drive you nuts. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much you love them or care about them, it's just difficult. We all have them. Now, the Bible has set the bar. The Bible clearly defines the goal that we're to strive for in all of our relationships, not just the easy ones, but the difficult ones. In Romans 12:18, it says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. One translation says, be at peace with everyone. Not just the easy ones, but all of them. Isn't it interesting? If possible is the way that verse starts. That presupposes that maybe it isn't possible. Maybe no matter what you do, it isn't going to work the way you want it to work. But the Bible says, don't let that be your fault. If it doesn't work, it's not because of you. It's because the other person just refuses. But if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace, be at peace, have positive relationships with everyone in your world. And then the words of Jesus, the golden rule, the golden rule. Treat others as you'd like them to treat you. Again, no conditions. It doesn't mean that if they treat you poorly, you're going to stop treating them well. This is where Jesus said, everything in the book will be fulfilled. The laws and everything the prophets taught, if you'll treat other people as you would like to be treated. That's the way it works. Speak to them the way you would like to be spoken to. That's the goal. That's the standard that God has set for every one of our relationships. Now, I've worn a lot of different hats in my life, and so have you. I've filled a lot of roles in my lifetime in relationships as I've tried to manage and navigate and nurture positive relationships in my life. Like you, I was born at a very early age. And when I was young, I had to wear these hats. I was a son. I had parents. And, you know, I'd never done this before, and I had to figure out how this all worked and how to manipulate my mom and how to manipulate my dad and to get what I wanted and have it my way. And I was a brother. My parents were foolish enough to have 5 daughters. And I was stuck right in the middle. 5 daughters. I spent most of a lifetime trying to navigate those relationships and nurture those relationships and still working on it. I got a little older, started going to school. I was a student. That meant I had teachers and I had classmates. And it was different from the relationships in my home. Now I'm out in the world. Again, trying to manage, nurture relationships, figure them out. I tried to be an athlete. I went out for sports. I wasn't very good, but I had coaches and I had teammates. And again, sometimes really challenging to fit in there and work and make it work. And you know, some people didn't like me as much as they should, and I didn't like some other people as much as I should, and it just creates dynamics that we all have to work with. Got a little older, I got married. I was a husband. I had a wife. My wife had parents and siblings, which means that I was now a son-in-law. I was so stinking, I was scared to death of my father-in-law. He was a nice guy, but everything he was good at, I was horrible at. And anything I was good at, he couldn't figure out how anybody could make a living doing that. It took me, you know, my father-in-law was gracious and kind and loving, but it took me years to be comfortable in his presence. That relationship was difficult for me. I respected him so much. I wanted him to like me. But that was something I had to manage. And I was a brother-in-law. And so, you know, and then Pauline and I, we had kids. I became a dad. Happy Father's Day to me. You know, I've got three of the most wonderful adult children that I am so proud of and I love so much. And we had a good family. But, you know, when they were smaller and when they were preteens and they were teens, sometimes that relationship got rocky. There was no shortage of love. But having to, being a parent of teenagers, yikes. That is scary. And the relationship wasn't always smooth and easy. It's just all part of the process. Some are easy. Some are difficult. In every case, in every season of my life, the challenge has been to manage and navigate and nurture relationships and interactions with other people and try to make it work. The goal was always the same, as much as it depends on you, Jerry. Live at peace and treat others as you would like to be treated. Sometimes I did well and sometimes I did poorly. But I always knew what the goal was and where the bar was set and what God expected of me. Now the Bible has some wonderful advice and instruction for us in this whole arena of relationships. I want Colossians chapter 3 to be our jumping off point. If you would turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Paul is writing to the church, to the Colossian church. They've been having some issues, like church people sometimes do. Not all the relationships were smooth and easy, and so Paul began to address it. He said, here are some things I want you to think about. Here are some things I want you to put in practice. Here are some things that can make a difference. Colossians 3:12, he said, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then he said, bear with each other. I looked up the original Greek. That does not mean be a bear to each other. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you have against each other. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Did you notice how he started that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12? If we can go to the next slide. He said, clothe yourself. And then he listed five characteristics. Clothe yourself. What's the mental picture that comes into your mind when you hear that phrase, clothe yourself? It means put some clothes on. What are you going to put on? It's your choice. You have a choice of what you're going to wear, what you're going to put on. You know, when you were a little kid, somebody else chose for you. They picked out your clothes, put them on you. You wore whatever they were, whatever mom picked out for you. But you're a big kid now. What are you going to wear? Now, obviously, Paul is not talking about clothes right there in Colossians 3:12. He's talking about attitudes. He's talking about behaviors. He's talking about how we treat each other and how we relate to each other and the actions of our lives. And he's saying, you have a choice. And here's some things to think about if you want healthy relationships in your home and outside your home. Take a look at that list, five of them. Just kind of soak in it. Some of those you're probably doing pretty well. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's one that kind of jumps out and the Holy Spirit is saying, you know, there's the one we need to work on. This is where I'd like to help you. Maybe for some of you, it's actually not even white. It's red and it's flashing. Because you know good and well, just like I do, the ones I need to work on. You know, all of the devils in hell can't make you be grouchy or irritable. They can't. You have a choice. You have free will. All the devils in hell can't make you mean or prickly or angry or snooty. Every morning when we get up, all of us have the opportunity to set the tone for our day and to influence the atmosphere of our life and our home and our workplace by what we choose to put on. And Paul is saying, if you consistently put these things on, you might discover that kindness can be contagious, that others might feed off what you put on that morning, and that gratitude can be an attitude, and that patience can be a positive virtue that's passed on and shared and modeled, that it can literally affect other people around you by the choices you've made first thing in the morning. Now, I'm a list guy. There's a list. I love lists. Don't put it in a paragraph and make it sound theological. Just give me a stinking list that I can work with. Pauline knows never to send me to the grocery store without a list. We've done that. I come home with a... Yes, exactly. I come home with a cart full of stuff that we don't need, but it caught my attention, and I wanted it, and I put it in the cart and bought it and brought it home. Give me a list. Here's another list, 1 Corinthians 13. Would you read down that with me? Would you read it? Love is patient, kind, doesn't envy, isn't proud, isn't rude, isn't selfish, isn't easily angered, doesn't hold grudges, it isn't evil, it rejoices in truth, protects, trusts, hopes, perseveres. Which one's flashing? Did you see love is? You know, God is love, the Bible says. So that means love is God. That means you could put God's name in there. Love is patient and kind. God is patient and kind. You could put Jesus' name in there because Jesus and God are one. And Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. So could you put your name in there? Now, I know for a fact that you could for some of those, but there might be a couple that you really couldn't say, Jerry is patient. Jerry doesn't hold grudges. You know, the Bible says we are to be imitators of Christ. Do you know what the word Christian literally means in the original language? It means little Christ. Christians were labeled Christians because they were trying to be like Jesus. We're to walk in his footsteps. We're to have the mind of Christ. We're to have the attributes and characteristics of Christ. And there they are. And I can't do them by myself or in my own strength. I not only need help, I need reminders. I need reminders. What am I going to put on this morning? How am I going to clothe myself? What do I need to be selecting to wear so that I can shine the love of Jesus through me to those around me? How about one more list? I'm a list guy. Put it in a list. I can do it. I can work on it. Next list, fruit of the Spirit. Oh my, how come that patience and kindness thing keeps popping up on all three of them? and gentleness and self-control. There's a guy I know who lives in East Boise, about my height, about my build. Nice guy for the most part, but I know him better than you know him. And sometimes he isn't as patient and kind as he could be. Sometimes he isn't as careful or intentional about what he puts on in the morning. Maybe he gets up on the wrong side of the bed, maybe cops an attitude and kind of grouchy, acting like a bear, I don't know. I don't know why he does that. But he did something that was really helpful. He took those three lists and he wrote each of them, each list. 1 Corinthians 13, Colossians 3, Galatians 5, wrote it. And he didn't type it or do it on a computer and print it off because he wanted it to get in his brain and go through his brain into his hands and his pen and his heart and the paper. And then you know what he did, this guy that I know better than you do? He put it on his nightstand and he read it before he turned off the light and went to sleep that night. And the next morning, before he got out of bed, he took it and read it again. Did this for several mornings and evenings. His wife read it with him. They'd read it aloud together. What are we going to put on this morning? How are we going to clothe ourselves this morning? And then, you know, there were a couple, two or three, that just really jumped out at him. Needed some extra reminders. So you know what this is? Sticky notes. Best thing God ever invented. Sticky notes. So this guy would write the two or three down that he really needed help with. And he needed to be reminded. He put one on the bathroom mirror so when he was brushing his face and brushing his teeth, washing his face, getting ready for the morning, there they were, yellow sticky note. Put one up on the upper right-hand corner of his computer screen. So when he's working in the office, love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't rude. It doesn't hold grudges. He even put one on the dashboard in his car. Almost got in several wrecks because he's reading these things. Tried to apply them to the drivers around him and realized that wasn't going to make a difference. Clovis Chapel, a minister from about 100 years ago, used to tell the story of two paddle boats that left Memphis, Tennessee, about the same time, down the Mississippi River, headed to New Orleans, each of them loaded with cargo. As they traveled side by side, you know, they were close enough to where the sailors from one boat could chat at the sailors in another boat, and they were, you know, trash talking, and my boat's better than your boat, and we're going to get there first, and blah, blah. You know how sailors are. But words were exchanged, challenges thrown out, and the race was on. Competition was fierce. Two boats roaring down the Mississippi River through the deep south on their way to New Orleans. Who was going to get there first? And one boat began to lag a little bit behind the other boat. Not enough fuel. They'd had plenty of coal on board to make the trip, but not to try to go really, really, really fast and beat somebody else. So as the boat dropped back, an enterprising young sailor took some of the ship's cargo and tossed it into the oven. And the sailors realized, hey, that cargo burns just as good as the coal. They fueled their boat with that material, the cargo they'd been assigned to transport, and they ended up winning the race, got to the finish line first, and they'd burned all of their cargo. They had nothing of what they were supposed to bring to New Orleans. And Clovis Chapel liked to say, God has entrusted cargo to us on this journey we call life. And we don't want to burn our cargo. We don't want to sacrifice and discourage and damage and destroy and burn our cargo. Our cargo are our children and our spouses and our friends and our co-workers and our classmates and our neighbors. Because when you stop and think about it, really, it's the only thing you can take with you. You know, when you reach the end of your journey, when you get to New Orleans, you can't take your fancy house with you or your cool car or any of your possessions. Nothing. I've done over 300 funerals in my career as a pastor. I have never seen a hearse pull up with a U-Haul trailer. Because you can't take it with you. The only thing you can take are the relationships that we've been able to nurture and develop. The people in your life that you've loved and cared for and respected and treated with kindness and invested in them to do everything humanly possible from your perspective to create healthy, happy, positive, life-giving relationships. And it all boils down to what you put on in the morning. It all boils down to the choices you and I make every day of how am I going to treat people? Which of the things do I need to work on purpose, intentionally, so that I can be more Christ-like? I can't do it by myself. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the power of prayer. I need God in my life. And I need lists to remind me not to just go out into life willy-nilly, but have a purpose, have a plan. Love God with all my heart and love the people around me in a way that honors God. I'm sure you're familiar with a song that came out 4 or 5 years ago called Good, Good Father. You remember that one? I mean, it became just really popular in worship circles. It was, you're a good, good father. And it's talking about God. That's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And then the next phrase is, I'm loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's who you are. Our Heavenly Father loves us. We are His precious cargo. We are His forever family that He has adopted. We are His children. And God loves us with an everlasting love. And He wants to pour His love in us so that we pass it on to those around us. And that it not only impacts our lives, but theirs as well. Dads, happy Father's Day. And God wants you to be a good, good father. And moms, Mother's Day was last month. But God still wants you to be a good, good mom. And husbands and wives, God wants you to be good spouses. Build each other up. Encourage each other. Bless each other. And He wants all of us, married, single, to be good, good friends and neighbors and co-workers and classmates. And in this church, God wants there to be unity and love and kindness and respect and peace in the name of Jesus. All in favor say aye. Because Jesus said the most important thing in all the book, in all the world, is to love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And with a bunch of lists and God's help, you can do it. So God bless you, and now go away. Just go and sin no more. Go and put it into practice. And go and be a good neighbor. I mean it. Go. Go. I'm done. And I don't think there's a song, so just go. I'm letting you go so you can get to the restaurants before the Catholics and the Mormons and the Baptists. So get out there, because it's Father's Day and all the restaurants are going to be full. So go.